Welcome back to Between the Lines. David and Jonathan are ready to continue sharing wisdom and passion for the Bible's hidden meanings. Let's dive back in.
Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry for yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years, in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. It's 2 years into this famine, guys, and it's going to be 5 more. Mm-hmm. So this was all made possible by God. You guys were tools of the living God. Don't feel bad, because he put it in your hearts to do that evil toward me, and it was for the ultimate good. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. That is one of the clues to the age of Pharaoh right there. There were some pharaohs that were not even teenagers when they ascended to the throne, and this was obviously one of them. Haste ye and go up to my father and say to him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. Go tell my father, come here and live with me here in Egypt. Mm-hmm. We have everything that we could ever want down here. Mm-hmm. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine yet to come, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of your brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. Can you imagine that conversation?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We're sorry. I'm so sorry.
You got a bathroom? I can change my loincloth. Because I imagine at a point where he's like, yeah, I'm Joseph.
Oh, boy. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well, and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lay your beasts, and go get you unto the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye, take your wagons out of the land of Egypt, for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. Don't worry about your furniture and all that other stuff.
That's right.
I got warehouses full.
That's right. Leave your Xboxes, flat screens, it doesn't matter.
Yep, we got it. We got it. The adapters down here are different anyway.
That's right.
Yeah. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, 10 asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. But he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. That they went up out of Egypt, and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father. And the whole way home they're thinking, them dreams came true.
Mm-hmm.
I bowed myself down to him three times.
Yeah,
just like he said.
Yeah, he's supposed to be my little brother.
And told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. Mm-hmm. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And they probably confessed to what they actually did to him at that time.
Kind of got to clear the air a little bit.
And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel says, and Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go to see him before I die. All right, you're here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, understanding this magnificent Bible. Basic instruction before leaving Earth. The instruction manual for your soul. A living manuscript full of mysteries that you will never fully understand, but I'm trying my hardest. We're trying our hardest here to get you there. Chapter 46, book of Genesis. Joseph has just revealed himself to his brethren. They have all made amends, and he is sent for his father to bring him to Egypt. The beginning of the time that Israel and will spend in Egypt and become a mighty nation there before the Exodus coming out. Chapter 46. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down unto Egypt, for I will be there. I will make there thee a great nation. And I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. And so he says, go down to Egypt. There's about 70 of them at that time, and they come out in the millions 400 years later. Just what God told him right here. And Jacob arose out from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, and their little ones, and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him, the sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his daughters' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. And these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt, Jacob and his sons: Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, the sons of Reuben, Hanok and Pelu, and Hezron and Carmi, the sons of Simeon, Jemuel and Jamin, and Ohad and Jachin, and Zohar and Sheul, the son of Canaanitish woman. They were not supposed to hook up with them Canaanite women, but they did. And the sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. And the sons of Judah, Er, and Onan, and Shelah, and Perez. That's an important one right there. And Zerah. But Er and Onan died in the land of Canaan. And the sons of Perez were Hezron and Hamul. And the sons of Issachar, Tola, and Puvah, and Job, and Shimron. The sons of Zebulun, Shered, and Elon, and Zaleel. These are the sons of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob in Padan Aram, with his daughter Dinah. All the souls of his sons and his daughters were 33. And the sons of Gad, Ziphion, and Haggai, Shinu, and Esban, Ira, and Aradai, and Arili. And the sons of Asher, Jimna, and Ishua, and Ishu, and Berai, and Sirah, their sister, and the sons of Berai, Heber, and Malchiel. These are the sons of Zilpah, whom Laban gave to Leah, his daughter, and these bare unto Jacob even 16 souls. The sons of Rachel, Jacob's wife, Joseph, and Benjamin. And unto Joseph in the land of Egypt were born Manasseh and Ephraim, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipherah, priest of On, bare unto him. And the sons of Benjamin were Bela and Becher and Ashbel, Gera and Naaman, Ei and Rosh, Mippam and Huppam and Ard. These are the sons of Rachel, which were born to Jacob. All the souls were 14. And the sons of Dan, Hushim, and the sons of Naphtali, Jaziel, and Gunai, and Jezer, and Shillem. These are the sons of Bilhah, which Laban gave unto Rachel his daughter, and she bare these unto Jacob. All the souls were 7. All the souls that came with Jacob into Egypt, which came out of his loins, besides Jacob's sons, wives, all the souls were 66 people. And the sons of Joseph, which were born him in Egypt, were 2 souls. All the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 70 people. And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel his father to Goshen, and presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said unto Joseph, Now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. And there it's kind of back to the prodigal son, like you were talking about earlier.
Right.
Yeah.
I wonder, within that, like, as soon as he said that to Joseph, would the brothers saw it? Oh man, he's still the favorite.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. Now, these guys are quite humbled at this point. And Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh and say unto him, My brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. And the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall come to pass, when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, What is your occupation? That ye shall say, Thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth even unto now, both we and also our fathers, that we may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Chapter 47. The amazing book of Genesis. Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, My father, my brethren, and their flocks and their herds and all they have are come out of the land of Canaan. Behold, they are in the land of Goshen. And he took some of his brethren, even 5 men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, What is your occupation, young men? And they said unto Pharaoh, Thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our father. They said moreover unto Pharaoh, For to sojourn in the land we are come, for thy servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen. And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, Thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and thy brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen let them dwell, and if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. If they're really that good at taking care of animals, let them take care of mine too. And Joseph brought in Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. That's interesting.
Yes.
Because that's what you do to your son's sons. And the had said earlier that that Joseph had become a father to Pharaoh. He'd been there 20-some years now. Pharaoh was probably 10, 12 years old, and now 32, 35 years old at this point. And Joseph and Jacob Israel blessed him as he would a son.
And so that's Pharaoh accepting the God of Jacob over all the Egyptian gods too at that point, if he allowed.
Absolutely. And there's more signs of that. Mm-hmm. And then later on, as this Pharaoh has died, And you wonder how this Pharaoh welcomed in the Israelites, and Joseph was like his father. Mm-hmm. And then 400 years later, they have been enslaved, because it says of the next one, the land of Egypt was invaded.
Right.
And it's it says, this Pharaoh who knew not Joseph, the Assyrian. Apparently the Assyrians had come in and conquered the land and taken it over. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old art thou? Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. That's quite a statement. Mm-hmm. 130 years, it's been a pretty good life. Not nearly as long as my father's life.
Quite as long as Papa's.
But it's been good. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. And Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families. And there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very sore, so that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of famine. So it's getting toward the end of the 7 years of famine, and things are starting to get scarce there too. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they bought. And Joseph brought the money unto Pharaoh's house. And when money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, give us bread. That's a basic tenet of economics you see there. There was a famine. All the food went away. And because of that, the money was worthless. Mm-hmm. You know, I have $1 million in my hand. Mm-hmm. You give it to you for that loaf of bread, no.
Yeah.
Yes, that sir. $1 million is worthless at that point.
Yes, sir.
So they said, our money, well, we can't buy anything. Is anyone that has food is not going to sell it to us, so this money's worthless. So they all came to Joseph and said, give us bread. Or why should we die in the presence, for the money faileth? And what I'd said a couple of installments back was, at the point that Joseph came to Egypt, Egypt was a very, very poverty-stricken nation. Pharaoh was not a rich king. He had his palace. Wasn't laden in gold. It was probably asphalt or something. The roof leaked. He basically didn't own much at all. He had loose control over his people, but the entire land of Egypt was privately owned farms and land holdings. And Joseph said, give your cattle, and I will give you for your cattle if money fails. So they come to him and says, our money's no good. He says, all right, well, bring what cattle you have left, and I'll give you some corn for that. And they brought their cattle unto Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses and for flocks and for cattle of the herds and for the asses, and he fed them with bread for all of their cattle for that year. What you're going to see here is a self-sustaining society turned into a state-run society in just a couple of years, where the state owns everything and the people work for the state. When that year was ended, they came unto him the second year and said unto him, we will not hide it from my lord how that our money is spent. My lord also hath our herds of cattle. There is not aught left in the sight of my lord but our bodies and our lands. We have nothing left. There's still a famine, and all that's left is the land we stand on and our bodies. Wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh, and give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate. And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for the Egyptians sold every man his field, because the famine prevailed over them, so the land became Pharaoh's.
So this is a stretching of the boundaries, the borders?
Well, no, it was all the land of Egypt, but Pharaoh didn't own it.
Gotcha.
It was all privately owned. Now he owns it all, and they're all tenants now. Yeah, and as for the people, he removed them to cities from one end of the borders of Egypt even to the other end thereof. It was an entire economic reshuffling. These were all self-sufficient farmers and cattle owners and workers of the land. Now Pharaoh owns all of the land, puts his servants out there to tend the flocks and fields. These folks move to the towns, and we begin to see the beginning of great building projects because he has lots of manpower now. Only the land of the priest bought he not, for the priests had a portion assigned them of Pharaoh and did eat their portion which Pharaoh gave them. Wherefore they sold not their lands. So the religious sect got off scot-free. Then Joseph said unto the people, Behold, I have bought you this day and your land for Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you, and ye shall sow the land. And it shall come to pass in the increase that ye shall give the fifth part unto Pharaoh, and four parts shall be with your own, for seed of the field, and for your food, and for them of your households, and for food for your little ones. So they became sharecroppers. So you will, whatever you grow, four parts you keep, one part you give to Pharaoh. You don't own the land. And they said, Thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants. And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt unto this day that Pharaoh should have the fifth part, except the land of the priests only, which became not Pharaoh's. Interesting, he requires twice as much as God does. Yep. God asks for a tenth. Pharaoh wants a fifth.
Yeah.
And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possession therein, and grew and multiplied exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. And the time drew nigh that Israel must die. And he called his son Joseph and said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not. Now remember what we said that pledge meant. The father would call the son, or the head guy would call one of his servants. Put your hand under my thigh, and it basically says that I'm placing everything that I have in your hand, and swear to me with your hand under my thigh, because you're holding my whole everything.
Mm-hmm.
I pray, and he says, kindly and truly with me, bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt. You know, thanks for bringing me down here, thanks for feeding us, but don't put my bones in Egypt ground. Take them back and bury them in the cave that Abraham had bought. But I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said. And he said, Swear unto me. And he swore unto him, and Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head. Chapter 48, book of Genesis, here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WBFF 97.7 FM. Glad you could join us. An amazing manuscript full of unbelievable wisdom of God. And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, Behold, thy father is sick, and he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself and sat up in the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. And thy issue, which thou begettest after them, shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. And as for me, when I came from Paddan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan, in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephrath. And I buried her there in the way of Ephrath, the same is Bethlehem. And it's interesting, Rachel was his favorite wife, and we discussed she was the problem girl. She was always into mischief and caused lots of, stole the gods of her father and caused Jacob lots of trouble. And when she died, he just buried her along the road that they were traveling. Interesting, even though she was his favorite. And Leah always longed to be his favorite. And Leah turned out to be the good wife. Rachel turned out to be the rowdy, high-strung wife. And Israel beheld Joseph's son and said, "Who are these?" And Joseph said unto his father, "They are my sons whom God hath given me in this place." And he said, "Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them." And you glean that between the lines about Rachel and Leah. Mm-hmm. Though he loved Rachel more than Leah, you see where he buried Leah. He buried her in the cave of Abraham that Abraham had purchased for his family,
right.
a place of great honor that Israel had just made Joseph swear to take him to be buried. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, "Whose are these?" And Joseph said, "They are my unto me." And Joseph said unto his father, "These are my sons whom God hath given me in this place." And he said, "Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them." Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, "I had not thought to see thy face. Your brothers told me that a beast tore you into pieces. And lo, God hath showed me also thy seed." And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. He had positioned them so that the firstborn would be touched by Israel's right hand. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands unwittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. So he crossed his arms and went opposite of what Joseph had wanted to happen. And he blessed Joseph and said, "God, before whom my father Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel, capital A, which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, "Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head." And his father refused and said, "I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a great people. He also shall be great, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations." And he blessed them that day, saying, "In these shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh." And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, "Behold, I die, but God shall be with you, bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow." And it gives you a little bit of insight here into where we come from, all of the Western nations. He says he beheld his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head, because Manasseh was the eldest child. And he says, "No, I know but the younger will be the greater, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. So it's a little bit of insight of where we all come from, because Ephraim became multi different nations founded in the Judeo-Christian philosophies. You've been listening to Between the Lines, Understanding Bible with David and Jonathan here on WVFF 97.7. Glad you could join us reading this majesty of a book. You guys have a good day. We'll see you next time.
That's all for this week's episode of Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. We hope you've enjoyed this journey through the scriptures with David and Jonathan. Join us next time for more enlightening discussions and exploration of the Bible's deeper meanings here on WVFF 97.7 FM, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.